What story do you tell yourself? We all tell ourselves stories about ourselves. I'm not talking about the public story, the story that people see, the story of our public lives. I'm talking about our inner story. That inner storyteller, that private voice that speaks inside of us so much. It may be a positive story, or it may be a negative story. It may be a true story, it may be a false story, or it may be mixed up with truth and falsehoods. It may be a story you're aware of, you're conscious of, or it may be a story that you've really got so used to, you're hardly aware of it anymore. And yet, that story, that inner story, is the most influential power in our lives. Jim Lehrer, that's L-O-E-H-R, he runs an institute called the Human Performance Institute in Orlando, and he specializes in helping top athletes like Olympians and corporate CEOs to find out how their inner story is hindering their public story. And he said this, since our destiny follows our stories, we must do all in our power to make sure our stories are true and will have the right endings. So, how do we find out what our inner story is? How do we develop an ear for it? And how do we change it if it's the wrong story that's leading to the wrong ending or creating a lot of trouble in our lives? Well, Joshua 1 helps us to discern, discover, hear our own story, and shows us how, with God's word, we can change it. Because the less we read our bad stories, and the more we read a better story, the better our lives will be. Or to sum up really the message of this passage, read the best stories for the best result. And especially read the best story within for the best results in our lives. So we want to ask, what is our story, our inner story, and how do we change it? Well, I want to see that in two ways. First, a bad story has sad effects. A bad story, a bad inner story has sad effects. Children, maybe if you draw pictures, you might want to try and do something like, what would it look like for yourself to be sitting there with a sad story? What would your face look like? Because a sad story has a sad impact on us, doesn't it? And Joshua here had a bad story. He was telling himself a bad story. This was a turning point in his life. He had been second in command to Moses, and now Moses had been taken to heaven, and God was asking him to fill these massive Mosaic shoes. He was saying, Joshua, I want you to step up. I want you to be first in command. And it was especially daunting to him because of the job description that God gave him, which was conquer Canaan. Moses had led Israel out of Egypt through the wilderness. 40 years on, Moses taken to heaven. Now Joshua's told, you take this people, this last step, a massive step, which is conquer Canaan and take possession of the land. And Joshua, he didn't feel up to it. It's clear, as we'll see from this passage, that he was really listening to a really bad story about what he was facing. How do we know the story that Joshua was telling himself? Well, we know because of the story that God replaces his story with. Look, for example, at five parts of this bad story, five chapters, as it were, of this bad story that Joshua was telling himself. First of all, Joshua was saying, I'm weak. I'm weak. And we know that because God said three times to Joshua, be strong, be strong, be strong. You see that in verses 6, 7, and 9. That was chapter 1. I'm weak. Chapter 2 was, I'm really scared. How do we know that? Because God said three times, Joshua, be courageous, be courageous, be courageous. We see that again in verse 6, 7, and 9. That was chapter 2. Chapter 3 was, I don't know what to do. And we know that because three times God tells him, Joshua, I've given you a plan. I've given you my word. I've given you commands. I've given you my law. Just follow the plan. The fourth chapter that Joshua was telling himself was, I'm going to fail. I'm doomed. And we know that because, again, God tells him three times, this time in verses 6, 7, and 8, you will be successful. You will be prosperous. You will take this land. This is going to have a happy ending. And chapter 5 was, I'm all alone. How do we know that? Because twice God says to him, Joshua, I am with you. I am with you. I am with you. So this is a bad story. I'm weak. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. I'm going to fail. And I'm all alone. Now, if you're listening to that story all day, every day, what's going to happen? That bad story is going to have really bad and sad effects, isn't it? And it's going to have a negative impact on Joshua. In fact, so negative that it's not only going to affect his thoughts and feelings, it's going to affect his face, his expressions, it's going to affect his body language, it's going to affect his words, and it's going to affect his decisions. How do we know that? Well, because the people of Israel heard Joshua's inner story coming out of his life. And we know that because at the end of the chapter, and we'll come to it in just a moment, the children of Israel echo what God said to Joshua. They say exactly the same thing that God had said to Joshua. So obviously, Joshua here is leading 2 million people. He's feeling bad about it. And they're looking and they're saying, this guy's not up to it. And they're feeling pretty bad about it too. You look, for example, at the last verses, 16. They answer Joshua, all you've commanded us we'll do, wherever you send us we'll go, just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we'll obey you, only obey the Lord your God, only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment, disobeys your words, whatever you command him, shall be put to death, only be strong and courageous. And if you read that carefully, you'll see these five chapters that they are speaking into Joshua's life. Be strong. Be courageous. You have a plan. You're going to be successful. And God is with you. So I think we can identify, can't we, with Israel. They're looking at this man who's charged with leading them into battle. And here's this man and he's saying, I'm feeble. I'm fearful, I'm foolish, I'm a failure, and I'm forsaken. That's a bad story that's going to have bad effects. And so we want to turn from this story, having seen that general principle, a bad story has sad effects, and ask ourselves, What story are we telling ourselves? What's our inner story? It won't be exactly the same as Joshua's. There may be elements of it. And it can be hard to hear it. Again, we get so familiar with our story that we really don't recognize it, or we're not conscious of it. But that inner story begins to build in us from our earliest years. It can be a story that our parents have told us about ourselves, that we internalize and we own, really without recognizing we're doing it. It could have been a teacher, again, for good or for ill. It could be friends, especially as we get into the teen years. We move away from our parents telling us the story and us embracing that, and it becomes much more influenced by our peers, our friends, social media. Might be bullies that have put a story in our hearts about ourselves. Jim Lehrer, who runs that Human Performance Institute, when he has these athletes and corporate CEOs come in, he has them spend about 2 or 3 days writing their own story, not their accomplishments. That's known already, but what voice are they hearing in their lives? What's their inner story? And he gets them to focus on 5 areas. Their work, their family, their health, their happiness, and their friendships. And he says, I want you to write the story you're telling yourself in each of these areas. Your work, your family, your health, your happiness, and your friendships. And they do have to do quite a lot of writing and rewriting until they really surface what is so deep. Now, as far as I know, Jim Lehrer doesn't approach this as a Christian, but we do. And we believe that while these things are influential, for sure, they are very much part of our story, the most influential part of our story is what we think about God. It's the faith part, isn't it? What we believe about God, what we believe about ourselves, and especially what we believe about our relationship to God. That is massively influential in our lives. And if we're telling ourselves a bad story about that, it's going to have deep, profound, painful, and damaging effects. So we want to think that through. Maybe take some time to do that. What is your story in these 5 areas, but especially in this one area? When these athletes and business people do this exercise, they sit down with Jim Lehrer and he gets them to pick out 5 elements of their story. The first thing is the title. He gets them to write a title of their inner story, just a short phrase. How would you sum this all up? And then he gets them to go through the text and look for patterns, look for repetitions, look for standouts, look for surprising things, and weight, attribute a weight to each of these sections as to how much influence they're having in their lives. Title the text, and then he says, what would be the theme of your story? Like the overall theme, how would you sum that up? And then he says, what's the tone of your story? Is it positive or negative? Is it critical or encouraging? Like, have you got an inner critic or have you got an inner fan? And then he comes to the most important point of all, the target, the end of their story. And that's where they spend most time. And he asks them to think, what do you want the end of your story to be? What do you want the last chapter, the last page? And he does that because there is nothing more influential than that. I was listening to a podcast through the week of a novelist who's written, I don't know, 60, 70 story books, non-fiction fiction books. And she said that she starts every single manuscript. She gets to her desk, she starts writing. She starts with the ending. That's the first page she writes, the last page. Because she knows that if she can get that, everything else flows to it. Everything else aligns with it. Everything else will just fit in. She keeps that in mind all the time and then goes back to the beginning and begins to write. And this is what Ler's doing as well, what we need to do. We have to ask ourselves what he asked these athletes and business people: what do I want my life to end as? What, or as he puts it, what do you want on your tombstone? How do you want to be remembered? What do you want your legacy to be? And he said it's stunning because almost all of them, it was nothing to do with how many medals they'd won or how much money they had. But it was much more to do with character and values and relationships. And what stunned him and those he did this exercise with was, if you want that to be your ending, how does the rest of your story make any sense? Because the rest of your story is devoted to money and medals, money and medals, money and medals. How do you think you're going to end up with that on your tombstone? And so we need to ask ourselves, what is your target? What's your aim? What's your purpose? How would you like to be remembered? And then from that, work back and see, you know, am I aligning with this? The way I spend my time, the way I spend my money, how I relate to my family, how I relate to my children, my wife, my husband. Does this line up? Are there lies in here that need to be ripped out and replaced with truth? So what's your inner story? And what impact is that having on you? Every story changes us more than we realize. I remember being with a family in Scotland where they were Harry Potter fanatics. And every time you're with them, whether it was in the car or around their table, the whole conversation was peppered with Harry Potter references. They would put on voices, they would take on the characters, they would have lines memorized. And this set of stories was dominating their whole life in a funny way, not a harmful way. And if that's the impact of a story that people have maybe read once, how much more the story that we read every day, the inner story, the inner voice, the inner author, the inner storyteller, what impact is that having upon you? You hear it and you read it multiple times a day. You see how important it is to identify your story, figure out the impact of it, because a bad story has sad effects. Well, how do I change my story? What do I do with this? I hear this, I don't like it, I know it's harming me. How do I make this better? Well, that's what we want to see next. If a bad story has sad effects, a better story has the best effects. And the best story has the best effects and impact. God tells us another story to replace that inner story, or to edit it, to rewrite it, to align it, to get rid of lies, to replace with truth. And he does that in two ways. God tells us a better story through his word, as we'll see in a moment. And he tells us a better story through his people. And we'll look at that next week as we look at the place of the church in the changing of our stories. But we've hinted at it here. We see it here in this chapter, don't we? Where God's people gather around Joshua and speak God's word into his life and seek to change Joshua's inner story. And we need that. We'll see that, I hope, God willing, next week. But today we want to look at how God's word changes our inner story, as it did here with Joshua. God looked into Joshua's heart and he heard that five chapter story and he said, I want you to write new chapters, Joshua. Here's my word and I want you to listen to this much more than you listen to this. And I want you to put that into your heart. Whenever you say to yourself, I'm feeble, hear me saying, be strong. Whenever you say, I'm so scared, hear me saying, you'll be courageous. Whenever you think, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't have a plan, hear me saying, we have a plan, Joshua, let's follow it. Whenever you say, I'm going to fail, I am a failure, no, Joshua, hear me saying, you will succeed, you will win. And whenever you say, I'm all alone, I'm abandoned, remember, I am with you. That's a much better story, isn't it? Can you imagine the transformational effect of that? Replacing Joshua's old story? This far better story is going to have a far better effect. And so we want to ask, how do we change our story? How do we do a Joshua? Well, firstly, we need to be courageous. We need to be courageous. This is not easy work. When you read the story of Joshua, we read a story of fear about confronting the gigantic Canaanite armies. That was terrifying. That was an intimidating battle. But Joshua had a far bigger battle on his hands, and that was to confront the gigantic lies that were destroying him internally and would eventually have an external effect as well. The battle against these gigantic lies was far greater than the battle against these gigantic Canaanites. And we're all engaged in that battle, or I hope we are. We've got to recognize that we're in a fight for our lives, and it's going to take tremendous courage to face our stories, to find them, face them, and change them. And Paul himself uses the language of battle when he's speaking of this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. He says this, the weapons of our warfare are not the flesh, but of divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience. It's kind of militant language, isn't it? He said, I'm going to war. He's saying that, you know, these millions of neural pathways, there's an ownership battle going on. And it may be that you have let others take ownership of these neural pathways. And these neural highways are occupied territory. It may be a parent, it may be a bully, maybe a teacher, it may be the media. Something or other is always seeking to own these highways. The devil himself, of course. And so it's going to take courage. I know of someone who was physically and psychologically abused by his father through his all through his childhood into his teens, terribly. And it had a devastating effect on his self-confidence, his self-worth throughout his life. He achieved quite a lot, but it was still sad. It was a painful journey he was on. And later in life, his father again, in some way or other, tried to intimidate him with silence and with expressions. And the son turned to him and said, Dad, I'm no longer scared of you. I will not let you terrorize me anymore. And it was a real turning point. It changed his inner story, changed his whole personality, changed him spiritually, and it changed his relationship with his father too for the better. It takes courage. Be courageous. Face the stories you don't want to face. It's worth it. The battle is worth it. But secondly, be convinced. Be convinced you need to battle like this with God's word in your hand. If you're not persuaded you need to do this, you're not going to do it. I was reading research recently where these organizations had commissioned a study into the impact of daily Bible reading. I'll just read you some of the quotes from it. Quote, if pastors could do only one thing to help people grow in their relationship with Christ, they would inspire, encourage, and equip their people to read and reflect on the Bible. One thing. The Center for Bible Engagement wrote this, the number one thing you can do for yourself spiritually is read the Bible four times a week or more. Read it this frequently and your life looks completely differently to those who don't read the Bible or read it less than that. In the book, What 1,000 Churches Reveal About Spiritual Growth, they say, reflection on Scripture is by far the most influential personal spiritual practice. I'm saying this to persuade and convince you of the value of bringing God's story into your life in a consistent way. And that's the third thing, be consistent. Be courageous, be convinced, and be consistent. In the notes, I've put more detail on this if you want to follow up with it, but let me just give you a few simple words. The first one is this, short, not long. You know, people start Bible reading plans in January often. They usually don't get to February. And the main reason is because the passages are way too long and it's unsustainable. It's short and frequent is far better than rare and big. So just small, keep it doable. The impact of that daily drip, drip, drip of God's word into your life over days and weeks and months and years and decades, that is going to rewrite your whole inner story. Sometimes you'll be aware of it. Sometimes you'll just read something and boom, it's just totally changed me. It's so clear. I was believing that. I should have believed this. Transformation. Most of the time, though, the change is hard to detect. It's happening. It takes faith. It's happening. But because it's so small, drip, 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 we don't detect it. But if you were to compare your story after a year, 5 years, 10 years, compared with today, if you do daily Bible reading, it'll be a massive change. So start small. And keep it short and keep it simple. Just like you go to the gym, you don't start with, you know, a 500-pound deadlift. You start with some little weights, don't you? Make it doable. If you make it too painful, you won't be back the next day. So don't start in Leviticus or Romans. Start in the Psalms or start in a gospel. And just get into the habit of it. And just keep it simple. Shut out distractions. So try and keep that thing away from your Bible reading and all devices. In fact, you're far better. If you really want God's story to make the biggest impact, go to him each morning with a blank sheet to write on. If you let email, texts, world news write on your heart first thing in the morning when it's most impressionable, that's going to change you in a really bad way. So go with a blank sheet and let God's word have the deepest impression rather than bring God's word in once you've messed up this piece of paper with lots of scribbles and shouts and fear and anger. Let God's word come in. Shut out distractions. And you study helps if you need to. Like an ESV study Bible is a great help. Maybe use Living the Bible, that short little daily podcast that goes out with praise and prayer. Just 5 minutes, takes you through a book of the Bible. Just bring the Holy Spirit in. He's the best teacher. He will lead us into the truth. That's a great thing. You read any other book, you don't have the promise of the author's spirit in your heart to help you get that story better. No, but with this story, we have the Holy Spirit who's able to take that truth right into the deep parts of our whole being, change us in the deepest parts. Pray for the Holy Spirit. Maybe share what you learn with someone else, someone you can stay accountable to, a friend, a wife, a husband, a son, a daughter, somebody that you can say, look, I really want to start this, just 5 minutes in the Bible each day. And so would you text me each day and ask me, what did you read today? Just so I've got to read now. I need something to say. And you know, just do it mutually and encourage one another. Maybe write a little verse down, stick it in your pocket, pull it out a few times in the day. Just keep drip, drip, dripping God's word into your life. A bad story has a bad sequel. The best story has the best effects. So for a better story, read the best story and begin to sense the change in life and in your whole destiny. Go back to how we began. Read the best story for the best results. And ask, here's, you know, when we read a book, we see something we like, we highlight it, underline it maybe. Well, we've got the best highlighter of all. And it's the blood of Christ. So when you read the Bible, come looking for Christ, his person, his work, and ask that each chapter would deepen the imprint of the cross in your heart. That historic event would become an internal event. And the cross of Christ would leave an indelible print upon us for time and for eternity. That's the story changer, isn't it? Jesus Christ. Let's pray.